Ariel. Okay. I thought you were a woman when I read the credit. Do people mistake? No,
there's a moon. I usually mistake to be the mermaid.
Okay.
So it's
a son of a woman.
It is a woman.
It's a son of a woman.
It is a
woman's
name.
Fish, half a fish. In Israel, actually, it's a male name. It means God's lion.
Oh, okay. We like lions.
In Europe, I'm a washing detergent. And in America, I'm the mermaid.
That's hilarious.
And you're in Shakespeare as well.
And the Temptress, right?
So we heard from Kevin about the trauma of, one, having to shave his long grown locks and beard on the very first day because you were on a schedule with Gal.
Mm-hmm.
So to do her stuff first. And also the trauma of just leaping into the void with the look and the character with very little, active preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, as the psychoanalyst on the set, otherwise known as the director, work with all of the different talent? Gary Oldman, who might be a little bipolar, whatever.
Well, let's answer the first question about the hair, and then I can get into the psychological issues of my cast. I think the hair was... It's funny, it reminds me of that movie of Barry Levinson, What Just Happened, when the movie with Bruce Willis is coming out of the trailer, nobody knows if it's going to be a beard or not. We got a lot of pressure about the haircut because nobody wants to see Kevin Costner shaved. Everybody wants to see Kevin with hair or, some kind of like between a Western and a baseball coach. I knew that I need to go somewhere that people will get a little bit more maybe intimidation, because again, Kevin is a very charming person, and how do you take that charm away? So there was a lot of stress. We literally had every producer and financier of the movie sitting outside the trailer waiting for me and Kevin come out. And it was a little bit of nerve-wracking, it's true, because the way it started, like, we're starting to shave it, and then Kevin said, enough, and I'm like, no, a little bit more, and then eventually he said, okay, that's it, no more, and that's what happened. So we basically did half a head, and he had a shaved side, and
it looks good. It's very punk.
I thought it looks great.
Yeah, I see a lot of soccer players with that same look in the shaved side.
I see a lot of people in New York on the subways with that look.
Here we go. No, but I thought it actually made him look younger. I thought it gave him a little bit of an edge. And the main thing, the reason that we had to do that, it was not just for the look and the coolness of it. It's really for the operation that we had to...
Right, you have to shave the side.
We have to shave. Now, usually, unfortunately, when people are actually going through any kind of brain procedure, they just have a patch.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are either shaving the entire head or they're just waiting for it to grow, but obviously we couldn't do that.
No.
And so Tommy Lee Jones had to be very considerate and shave all around for the good look of the film. As working for personalities, I said, nobody's perfect.
Okay.
And
except me.
Definitely not me.
Okay.
But that's part of the challenge, and I love it. And I think, they bring the different layers of personality into the screen. And in the end of the day, it doesn't matter how you behave in your home and how you behave on set. It's what's the end result of your acting. So some people can be tough. Some people can be super nice. In the end of the day, if they don't perform, we don't get, much out of it. So, is it easy? Especially when you have Gary Oldman is a director, Tommy Lee Jones is a director, and Kevin Costner is an Oscar-winning director. Michael Pitt is wannabe young director. I mean, there was Jordi Moya is a director. There was a lot of directors on set. For me, it was just...
So they all had their own opinions of who was really directing this movie?
No. Actually, they... When they fail, they want to say something. I love it. I have no problem.
Thank you for telling me this. Now we do it my way.
Yes. No. Never. It's usually here's the vision. Here's what we're trying to do. Now let's see how much time we have to play around it. If you want to bring a little bit more sense of humor, let's try it. If we need to bring a little bit more edge, let's try it. I believe, especially when you have such a character like Jericho, is almost like playing jazz, you're going with the rhythm, so you need to have the openness for trying different things, because it's an unexpected character of
that was,
Fusion.
That was one of the things I liked about Jericho, that there was some humor there that you didn't expect. And
right.
So is that
part that's part of the attempt, and I give a lot of credit to Kevin for this, because Kevin, you know, was very much... He wanted to have those moments because he have his relationship with his audience. You know, this audience would love to see him funny and would like to see him charming. I think we just need to create a good balance in the end, that it's not going to be too charming and funny.
Right.
That there's a little bit of both.
I thought it was perfect.
Well, thank you so much.
I did too. And I'm just interested in the... People don't see him as his character. So was there a... Did other people want a younger... Probably a bigger star, like
right.
maybe Ryan Gosling. Was he looked at as being the
yeah, I mean,
character as well?
Or Ryan Reynolds?
Well,
I'm
Ryan
sorry,
Reynolds
I'm,
at the time.
I
let's
said Gosling. I made a fatal mistake, didn't I?
Yeah,
Ryan Reynolds.
It's okay, they all look the same.
Exactly.
Look, I think if we're going into breakdown, if we talk about Ryan Reynolds, you know, he came to do this film because he's a big Costner fan, to be honest with you.
Oh.
That was before Deadpool. So he didn't have the star power that he has even today. Choosing other actors, of course, you know, in Hollywood there is a certain list, you know, and the list is really about 9 people, 10 people that
some people are on it forever.
Yeah, but in the realism list of financing in the world today, it's tough. So how do you go? You're going into the list and you're saying who's available, and guess what? Most of them are not. So is it was something that the distributors or the financier wanted to go, let's go young and make it like edgy and cool to the young audience that actually go see movies? The answer is yes. But then again, there was something that I needed to have this guy locked down for 20, 25 years. So I had to start to look at the age of 40 and above. So I couldn't really approach the young...
You didn't think he could have gone in at 7?
Sorry?
Nothing ever. He was 20, you know, he was 27.
Juvenile detention.
20,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
20 years a psycho.
Yeah, no, so I said, like, I had to start to look for my 40s up.
Okay.
And, you know, in the 40s, there's a few action heroes, but listen, when a guy like Kevin calls, you know, when his agent calls, it's like, you should go meet him and try to convince him. Because, by the way, Kevin didn't want to do anything the first time.
Because he didn't think the story would
No,
fly,
because he
or?
Thought that he could not portray necessarily a guy that is such a violent man. And I don't know if he wanted to. But then I had to go again to convince him. And I'm happy I did it, because now I cannot see anybody else since Jericho than him. And... Anyway, I'm very happy with this.
How did you get attached to the script?
Me? It's my cousin who wrote it. David.
Can you talk about
the family? Is that a joke? Or is that
no,
true?
That's true. David is my cousin. You met him before me. He wrote it with Doug, the late Doug. I mean, I don't know if you know that Doug died.
Yeah.
And...
So he gave you the script and said...
Yeah, the script was originally written for a woman. By the way, and then
Faye Dunaway was unavailable.
I like your style, man.
Can you talk about bringing Gal onto the production, because she hadn't even been cast as Wonder Woman at this point?
That's right. Gal is a friend of mine from Israel. I saw
God, the cast is nothing but your friends. Gone.
I saw her in a few things, but then she showed me a TV show that she did called it's like a journey in Tibet. It's a really good show, actually. I don't remember the I think they called it Nepal. And I was like, wow, you actually have range. And listen, I have an opportunity because I have all those male actors, so the studio might gonna say, okay, I can take a chance. And I did. And in the beginning, the financier was like, wow, we didn't get like a bigger name. And it's like, listen, you know, I think she can pull it, because her and Ryan Reynolds, there would be something sexy about it. And 2 weeks out, literally 2 or 3 weeks after, she called me like, people won't believe what happens. Like, I'm Wonder Woman. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, yeah, I got the part. I'm like, come on, guy, I have a weak heart. and it's true. So it's, again, sometimes you get lucky, you know.
Tommy Lee Jones, I mean, I don't think I've seen him in anything since the last Men in Black.
He was in Captain America.
Well, I mean, but not as featured on screen.
Well, he did his own Western, and Tommy Lee Jones is Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
He's,
we know.
You know, I'm sure you felt the energy in the room. And you know that it can be challenging. But as I said again, he came in and he said one thing. So I want to be vulnerable in this one. I'm like, what?
Step on my couch and
tell me
you want to
be.
This.
Tell
okay.
me we want to be vulnerable. And I said, I got to be there to see that. And I'm happy.
Did you ask him why?
I didn't. I just grabbed the opportunity because you never see. I mean, I met him once before for Iceman actually, and he was like, he was so strongly averse to everything I said. He didn't agree with anything. And what I liked about him, that he's a guy that doesn't give a fuck what people think about him.
Oh, we know.
You know, really, he don't. He doesn't care. So when he said, I'm interested because I like science and I think these guys can be vulnerable because there's not much he can do, and he actually has a compassion to his Frankenstein creation, I said, well, that would be amazing if you're going to do it. And I let him, you know, he almost brought in into his walk. I don't know if you noticed.
Okay.
He dragged a leg. He like, because usually Tommy Lee jumps, like, and every, even if he sits down in a corner, he sits like that.
Right.
Even when on set before, he's like this. Young man, like, Tommy, we're ready. I know. And then he walks on it, and suddenly, like,
he's transformed.
He caught in a second. And so I was like, you know what? This is great actors.
And what about Michael Pitt, who's also kind of surprising to show up here? I looked at him and I kept saying, I know that guy, and they're...
He's a great actor.
Because I remember him as a kid, basically.
I love him.
Yeah.
Love Michael.
But how did that casting come around? Is he one of your friends, too?
No. I met him for that. He just looked like a Dutchman.
How many stars do the studios want when you're...
How many what?
Stars do the studios want? So you have they have a list of people. But
no, but you know what? First of all, Lionsgate came after. So when Millennium was bringing in the project, they were okay. When I had Gary and Kevin, that was fine. But what's starting, you know, you can see in every movie, it's like a train. Who wants to take the trip on the train? Nobody wants to take the trip on the train. Everybody wants to take the flight. The car, you know, the Uber. Nobody wants to go on the train. But when the train actually is leaving and it's actually a fast direct train, somehow it's kind of like a zygas. Everybody, the agents are calling. And
really?
Yeah, so it's usually you have an anchor and a go movie.
But it doesn't happen till late. They don't start calling till late.
No. I didn't know most of the cast were put together 4 weeks before production. Yeah.
So they have to be available then and ready to run.
So it's a synergy. Like, okay, everybody's been making a movie. Kevin Costner is doing it, Gary Oldman.
Right.
Who wants it? So Michael Pitt agent calls, and this, and Tommy Lee Jones agent calls, and Ryan Reynolds calls. So it's like, it's literally that kind of...
Could you have got unknown actors then? When you had the two stars, could you have got unknowns if you wanted to?
If I would have any attraction, yeah, of course. And it's not, by the way, it's not, you know, there's certain movies that the authenticism is so important, especially when you're telling true stories. So maybe then you want to go a little bit unknown. I mean, I can totally understand, like, you know, this connection. But a lot of young audience, if they're going to come see the movie, they don't know Tommy Lee Jones. And guess what? They barely know Gary Oldman. And they definitely don't know Costner.
But they
know
Ryan Reynolds.
But they know Ryan Reynolds.
And now they know Gal Gadot.
So for them to see Kevin Costner for the first... Probably a lot of people would be for the first time. A lot of young people, to see him like that, it would be like probably when they met, I don't know, Liam Neeson, when they saw Taken for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, who's this guy? So stars, for us, I guess, this group, we know all of them. And you probably interview them. Most people don't know.
And
this is how crazy the world is right now. You ask kids, they have no idea.
They say if you haven't been in a movie in the last 5 years that's a big hit, nobody under 20 knows who you are. that there's, you know, they haven't been.
They don't
involved.
Know who's Frank Sinatra. How about that?
Yeah.
Thank you for having Amaury Nolasco on the film.
Oh, Amaury?
Amaury, I love
you. Okay, he's a friend.
Okay.
So,
well,
I love Amaury. From
heard,
Prison Break, I mean,
yeah.
I was a huge fan of his, and doing it again.
Yeah,
I've heard people, researchers in magazines, say they thought Marilyn Monroe was a model.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that she made movies.
Yeah. Look, it's actually, yesterday I saw some
okay.
documentary about Sinatra, and it was something that I woke me up to understand that, you know, we're living in a time we're thinking we're important, we're thinking we're doing something that will affect the world, we're thinking that our job has a purpose and we're going to influence. In the end of the day, it's not that true for the long run. I think you can be the biggest mega influence, and then eventually a few generations later, and if you're not there anymore,
it's who.
So just leave the time, leave the moment, do the best you can, entertain, spread positivity, have some
include,
hope.
Does that include directors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who? What are you doing next, Ariel?
Yeah. What are we? You know, we're just trying to, we just put the package together. We have a tough job, I can tell you that.
But it's your media, we're always told. The movies are directors' media.
Yes, but... Again, what is a movie? What is it sustainable? You know what I mean? Today we remember it. Tomorrow
I
we
see.
Don't.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is that it's a journey. It's a tough journey. We can do the best we can and have a purpose and entertain and have people at least, here's a 2 hours that maybe will take you from thinking bad things about the world and about your diet and about your marriage life. So I think that's the best we can do. We can do movies that eventually will have an influence, have an inspiration, or have a good entertaining. And I like to show people, I like to show anti-heroes. I like to show there is a dysfunction in humans. And then maybe we can find some compassion to that dysfunction.
Did you give your cousin any notes when he gave you the script, or did you just say, I liked it?
No. I'm a tough one. No, because this one specifically, you know, it was almost, I don't know, a lot of directors, I'm sure, if they get that script, they'd be like, come on, seriously? I gotta sell memory transfer, I gotta sell hacking, I gotta sell a bad guy turns good guy, I gotta sell a woman that lost her husband and accepting a 30-year-old man. Wow. Seriously? That's a lot. So,
plus the takeover of a U.S. submarine missile to explode in the middle of nowhere.
Everything!
Hey,
so,
the hacking is the most believable these
days. But hold on, that's the thing. I got the script before Sony hacking.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so now, and the Pentagon. So now everybody said, hacking's no problem. But we get that. Memory transfer, actually, that's becoming kind of like a science truth. And we did a lot of research on it. When I discovered it, I was shocked to see how much truth there is in the science of memory. So that's becoming, okay, we can deal with that. A bad guy turned good guy, we've seen that. Okay, we can deal with that. A woman, okay, we saw a ghost. Maybe there is a way to bring back the past. But put it all together in one movie, it was very challenging.
Did you go for the science part? Did you talk to Japanese science?
Two Japanese scientists.
What kind of people are they?
They're actually brilliant. And I love what they're trying to do. Because their whole philosophy is that we are who we are for our memories. And it's, you know, behaviors of everybody. Politicians, soldiers, filmmakers, actors, doctors, it's memories. And a lot of people's problems in the present life is their memories from the past.
Alzheimer's.
Well, post-war, you know, memories, relationship memories, childhood
trauma.
Memories.
Mm-hmm.
Traumatic, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's all stuck somewhere in the hippocampus of our frontal lobe. Now, what happened when you don't have that? And what happened when you actually transfer a memory of a human being and it's not an imagery, it's actually an emotional memory. And we are not far away from deleting those bad memories, and we're not far away from storing our memories because they found out the pattern. It's probably one of the most advanced brain discoveries we have, which is memory. So, if you're thinking about it, we are who we are because of our memory. So, if we can alter that, we can do a lot of things. I can go to the head of ISIS and say, I'm going to take your memories away and I'm going to put you a memory of a beautiful female. That's going to be criminal too.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Do you know what you're doing next?
There's two projects. Hopefully soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just ring?